Welcome to Sacramento Central Seventh-day Adventist Church. We're so grateful that you're joining us today in Central Study Hour, wherever you are or however you're tuning in. As we prepare our hearts for worship, we invite all of you to join us in singing a joyful song that reminds us of our mission to proclaim the good news of Jesus on the mountains, with your neighbor, in our homes, and in our daily lives. Let's sing Go Tell It on the Mountain, SDA hymnal number 121. Let's sing all verses.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, or silent flocks by night, behold, through all the heavens, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angels' chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born, and brought us God's salvation, that blesses Christians born. Go tell it on the mountain, hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
If you have a hymn request that you would like to share with us so we can sing together in the next Central Study Hour, please visit our website at saccentral.org. Click contact us, then scroll down to CSH hymn request. Let us know your name, where you're from, your email address, and the title of the hymn. We'll be happy to sing your hymn request on the upcoming Sabbath. As the angels proclaim hope to the world, we too gather to praise our Savior. Let's sing together, Angels from the Realms of Glory, SDA hymnal number 119. Let's sing all verses.
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye whose fair creation story now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Shepherds in the field abiding, watching o'er your flocks by night. God with man is now residing, yonder shines the infant light. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Sages, leave your contemplation, He has in his made a store. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Since before the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear, suddenly the Lord is bending. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the blessings that you have given to us and for the precious gift of Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our hope. At this moment, Lord, we ask your Holy Spirit to guide us. Open our hearts and our minds so we understand your will as we study your lesson together. And we ask you, Lord, to be with Bona Purba today as he will share your word today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Central Study Hour will be presented today by Bona Purba, lesson number 13, Choose This Day. I hope you have a blessed study.
We will be continuing our lesson. This Sabbath, we are concluding the whole quarters of these lessons. So, but before that, I would like to remind everyone, if you would like to receive the presentation of today's Bible study, you are welcome to give us a call at 916-457-6511. Or you may email us at csh@saccentral.org. And don't forget to mention, for today's presentation is offer number C202552. And we'll be happy to send you the CD or DVD presentation of the Bible study. And this Sabbath, as I mentioned, we'll be concluding of the lesson for this whole quarter, which entitled Lessons of Faith from Joshua. We'll do a little recap about what has been discussed and prayed about and learned. You may have applied so many valuable lessons in your life through this quarter's lessons. Yeah, from number one is recipe for success, and talking about the true success comes from trusting God's word and following his guidance. And lesson number two, surprised by grace. And talking about God's mercy often appears where we least expect it. Number three, memorials of grace. Remembering God's past leading strengthen present faith. And lesson four, the conflict behind all conflicts. Talking about the earthly battles reflect a greater spiritual war. And then lesson five, God fights for you. Victory belongs to God. He goes before his people. That's really awesome. Lesson six, the enemy within. And this is concluding about internal sin and the disobedience threaten God's mission more than the external does. And lesson seven, ultimate loyalty. Worship in a war zone. Worship and loyalty to God anchors us in times of conflict. Lesson eight, giants of faith, Joshua and Caleb. And concluding, courage comes from trusting in God despite overwhelming odds. And then also continued lesson nine, heirs of promises, prisoners of hope. And concluding that God's promises sustain his people through waiting and uncertainty. And lesson 10, the true Joshua. And this is concluding that Joshua points forward to Jesus, our ultimate leader and deliverer. And lesson number 11, living in the land. God calls His people to live faithfully in the blessings He provides. Number 12, last Sabbath, God is faithful. Every promise God makes is trustworthy and sure. And today we will be concluding lesson number 13. Choose this day. And we will dive in deeper about this lesson that's really not also as important as the other. It's actually the climax of this study. Every single day, we are surrounded by so many choices. Whether we're going to the left or going to the right, we're going to stop or we're going to proceed and continue. We meet with somebody, bump into somebody. Are we going to say hi or trying to avoid contact? We choose this job or that job. Are we going to help somebody in need or are we going to ignore? At nighttime, are we going to keep scrolling on the phone or finally turn out the light and go to bed? So many choices every day that we face. Most of these decisions feel so small, yeah, so ordinary, that we hardly notice them. Yeah, but every now and then, a decision stands up, yeah, looks us in the eye and changes the directions of our life, our marriage, our family, even change the directions of our entire church. In Joshua chapter 24, the Bible takes us right into one of those holy defining moments. Yeah, an old soldier, now a shepherd of souls, gathered God's people at Shechem. Behind them stretches a long story that had happened in the past. The Red Sea, manna in the wilderness, failures and forgiveness, battles and victories. Ahead of them lies comfort. So they look back and they look forward. Yeah, ahead of them lies comfort, security, prosperity, and the quiet danger of forgetting the God who brought them this far. And Joshua, standing there like a pastor at a spiritual crossroads, draws a clear line in the sand and says, "Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve." Yeah, it's a really bold statement. Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Yeah. There's no middle ground here. No spiritual cruise control at play. No postponing the decision until tomorrow. He says specifically this day. No halfway surrender needed. No divided heart. No Sabbath only faith. After Sabbath is off, faith is off. No serving two masters. So today, yeah, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Yeah. This last lesson of this quarter, choose this day, invites us to step into that scene and let the Holy Spirit press the same question into our hearts today. Yeah. What happens when we remember that God, not us, is the real main character in our story? Yeah. What does it truly look like to serve Him in sincerity and in truth? Those are the questions that we'll be answering in the lesson later. Not just on a paper, yeah? What does it truly look like to serve Him in sincerity and in truth? Not just serving Him on a paper, not just in our membership, but in our details of calendars on a monthly basis, daily basis, our priorities, our bank accounts, our conversations daily, and our relationships. Yeah, those are the things that we'll be answering in our lesson. How do we use the freedom God has given us? lay down our idols and actually finish well in a world that pulls us in a thousand directions all at once. By the time we walk through this lesson together, Joshua 24 will not just be an old story about the ancient Israel. It will become a personal, right now invitation from the living God. In my house, your house, in my heart, in my own church, who will I really serve? And that's the one that we'll be answering. Now, let's go to a Sunday lesson. Yeah, we already see that in the Sabbath afternoon, we saw the big picture of it. Yeah, a God who holds the whole story of our lives, yeah, in His own hand. And then we'll see on Sunday lesson that we're going to zoom in closer and hear Him say, this is not just their story. It's also going to be our story too. Yeah. Sunday lesson, the title, You Were There. What does it mean? And I'd like to, before we answer, I'd like to imagine and picture the situation, the scene. Joshua gathers all Israel at Shechem. And then the Lord Himself begins to speak. God personally walks them through their own history. Yeah, it says in the lessons there, taken from Joshua 24, from verse 2 to 13, I took, I led, I gave, I delivered. Yeah, He personally, God personally walks them through their own history. And the message in this is really bold. You are standing where you stand today only because I have been faithfully and personally leading you. Yeah, yeah, that's really bold message that we can conclude. This is not just their story in the past, but God says, this is what I did for you. Yeah, and we can draw, yeah, the essence of these lessons day by day. As I'm drawing the lessons, you know, the pearls of truth that I will be sharing, that I draw as I'm studying, guided by the Holy Spirit, we can enjoy together, yeah, the cookings of spiritual. Yeah. So the first lesson that I can draw from Sunday lesson is that God is the main character of our story. Yeah. God is the main character of our story. Yeah. In Joshua chapter 24, the focus is not Israel's greatness, but God's goodness. Yeah. The focus is not on Israel's greatness, but God's goodness. Yeah. The subject of the story is talking about God Himself. Their existence is not self-made. It is grace-driven from beginning up to the end. Yeah. So what can we learn about this? Yeah. It's not about Israel, it's about God. Yeah. Application that we can draw from this truth is that as a church and as a family, let's shift how we tell our story. Yeah. As a church and as a family, let's shift how we tell our story. Instead of saying, this is how I succeeded, let's say, shift it to, this is how God had mercy on me. It's not about us, it's about God. And let testimonies become part of our daily worship. Testimonies on our board meetings. Testimonies on our family worship, morning and evening. And let our language sounds like this. Look what the Lord has done for us. Look how He carried us when we didn't know the way. Yeah, that's basically the first essence of the lesson. Yeah. The second one. Yeah, the second lesson we can draw on Sunday. Yeah. We inherit a spiritual legacy and a holy responsibility. We inherit spiritual legacy and a holy responsibility. What does it mean by that? God speaks to the current generation as though they themselves walked through the Red Sea. We don't experience that firsthand, do we? We don't. Yeah. But in this story, the lesson that God wants us to learn is that we inherit a spiritual legacy and a holy responsibility. God speaks to the current generation, our generation, as though we ourselves walked through the Red Sea. He doesn't say, "That's what I did for them back then." No, he speaks as if they were there. Yeah, because spiritually they were there. They inherit the story, and with it, they inherit the responsibility. What does it mean? The application that we can draw from that truth is that don't look at our church past and say, "That was their ministry back then. That was their sacrifice." Yeah, no. So don't look at our church. You know, we have a lot of ministries in our church. "That was their ministry back then. That was their sacrifice." No. God is saying, "This is our story too." Yeah. So this hopefully invites us to step forward, to serve, give, to mentor. Yeah. Protect the spiritual atmosphere of our home and our congregation for the children and youth who are coming after us. That's the second one. The third that we can draw from here is that remembering God's leading, still on Sunday lessons, by the way, remembering God's leading fuels future faithfulness. Yeah. God does not review the past just to make us feeling nostalgic. No. He reviews the past to anchor our future obedience in His proven faithfulness, to give strong anchor. Yeah? If He has carried us before, He will not drop us now. That's the hope. Yeah? When you are standing at the crossroads, facing changes, facing crisis, or facing uncertainty, don't just look at your fears. Look back and remember. Yeah? Ask, where has God carried us before in the past? Where did He provide when we had nothing in our lives? Where did He guide us when we were confused? And let that record, not convenience, not fear, shape the decision we make today. Yeah, same thing when we're driving. You don't look at the rear mirror just to look at it all the time. You're going to hit somebody, rear-end somebody. Instead, you look at it just to see the positioning yourself in the middle of the road, right? Same thing with the mirror. But you don't look at that all the time, not looking forward. You just slight glance and then back. So that's supposed to be anchoring us for the future. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 2 to 13 is basically the essence, God's own testimony. "I took your father Abraham, I brought you out, I delivered you." Yeah. And in Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, "You shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way." And also Psalm 103, verse 2, "Bless the Lord and forget not all His benefits." And Hebrews 13, verse 8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." And Mrs. White wrote in Life Sketches, page 196, which reminds us how crucial it is to remember the way God has led us. "We have nothing to fear for the future, except as we forget how the Lord has led us in the past." Let me repeat that. "We have nothing to fear for the future, except as we forget how the Lord has led us in the past." Yeah. Joshua's assembly at Shechem is exactly that. A divine reminder that says, do not forget. Remember who brought you here. So that's the spirit of prophecy enlightening about this scripture. Imagine, picture our church celebrating anniversaries of our church, our anniversary. Yeah, the screen shows old photographs, a small rented hall, maybe a flimsy tent. This is not talking about our church, just a regular church. A rented hall, a flimsy tent, just a handful of believers, of members, children sitting on the folding chair, simple music, simple faith. But then we look around today, a fuller sanctuary. We have children's ministries, we have music teams, we have live streams, small groups, pathfinders, adventurers, ministries we never have could have imagined would happen in the beginning. Yeah. So that's how God's leading for us. But let's ask some questions. Who opened the doors when there was no money? Yeah. Who protected the children when the church was weak and vulnerable? Who brought seekers through those doors at just the right moment? It wasn't our strategies. It wasn't our talent. It was the same God who speak at Shechem and who did all of that improvement in our church today. That's Joshua 24, chapter 24, in an actual real time. Yeah. You may not be in 1975. You may have not been in 1995 present or 2005, but spiritually God say, you were there. I did this for you too. So basically the same analogy of the story for that we can apply. We don't experience Red Sea, but God says you were there too. Yeah. This isn't just a beautiful Bible story. This is our own story as well. Yeah. Jesus stood in front of our church today and said, let me remind you what I've done for you. How would we answer that? Would we use his blessing just to feel safe and comfortable? Or let them launch us into deeper trust? Or that becomes a bolder faith or loving service. Yeah. Right now, where we are, we can make this simple life-shaping choice. We can pray, Lord, you are the main character in my life and in our church. Because all you've done for us, I choose to remember your leading, Lord, to serve you in joy and to take my place in your mission. Let that become our prayer. Yeah. We are here by grace. Now live like someone who knows that deeply loved. Yeah. So that's Sunday. Yeah. That's Sunday's lesson. So let's move on. On Monday, we move from you were there into how real is your yes. Yeah, that's a little bit shifting. Yeah, you were there. From Sunday lesson on Monday, how real is your yes? Yeah. Let's see. The Monday's lesson titled In Sincerity and in Truth. Yeah. Back at Shechem. At Shechem, Joshua doesn't just say, serve the Lord. He adds two piercing phrases in there. Yeah. Those two piercing phrases is found in Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. That two piercing phrases is that in sincerity and in truth, hence the title. Yeah. Basically, he's saying no mask, no double life, no part-time religion. That's what he means by that. God is not just asking Israel, and he's not just asking all of us to work for him. He is asking for undivided hearts and lives that match the words we say and the song we sing at church or every day. What does it mean? Let's break it down. The truth, the pearls of truth we can draw from Monday's lesson. The first one, God calls for undivided hearts. At this time, Joshua urged Israel to fear the Lord, to serve him, and to put away other gods. And the issue, and here comes the issue. The issue is not adding God to the collection of things we serve. The main issue is the clearing the shelves so that God alone sit at the center. We carry so many baggages, correct? It's not about adding God. We probably already add God. But the issue is to clear up the other stuff, to put God in the middle of your heart. So that's the first lesson. What can we draw from that truth? It means that take time to identify modern idols. Yeah, quote, quote, end quote. Modern idols. It may be an image, our image, family image in our society. Our modern idol could be money, could be comfort, could be phone. Yeah, our modern idol could be entertainment, everything, whatever that is. You can basically create your own self-made modern idol that nobody else sees it, but God can see that. Yeah. So even sometimes, ironically, even ministry can become an idol if it takes the place of God. Serving God, but then spend so many times that you forget to have Bible study and listen to Him speaking for your heart. And that can become an idol. So we pray earnestly, Lord, show me where my loyalty is divided. Yeah. And then take one concrete, visible step this week. Change our schedule. Adjust our personal habit. Shift a spending pattern, possibly. Yeah. To show that God truly comes first in our life. Yeah. That's the a little bit adjustment. Second pearls of truth we can draw from Monday lesson. Insincerity. So that's the statement. Insincerity. That means it's a whole, everything, not polished. Yeah. The word sincerity comes from the original Hebrew word tamim, carries the idea of wholeness, yeah, completeness. God is not asking for a staged perfection. He's asking for the real you, the real us, the whole you. Not a pretending, not a performance, not a spiritual acting. Yeah? What does it mean? I may be stepping on people's toes, but hey, the Word of God is as sharp as a double-edged sword. It may be hurtful, but it brings us closer to God. What the application we can apply from those lessons in our heart. Be the same person at work. Be the same person at home. Be the same person online. Be the same person in church. Yeah? Don't be afraid to admit struggles instead of covering them up. Yeah? Confession and honesty are part of what it means to serve God sincerely. Surprisingly, maybe sometimes I shook my head when I'm driving and I saw people driving behavior on the road is, you know, that's what I would shake my head. People cut you off, you know, people will road rage, but then here they are wearing suit on the way to church, you know, completely different person behavior in the church. And behavior on the road. That's what it means. That's the lesson that God wants us to learn. Or maybe online, you could be really like a giant monster in your comments in online, you know, but then completely different personalities in church. You know, Bible study, Sabbath school, unit Sabbath school is small. You barely say anything, any comments, but then online, your comment is like bold, uppercase, completely contradictory, right? So, and I think that's one of the things that God wants us to learn in this lesson. Yeah. So let's take time to think about that. Be the same person at church, online, in the road, you know. So the third pearls of truth that we can apply is that in truth, faithful, not fickle. The word truth here points to faithfulness, yeah, reliability, covenant loyalty. It is worship that is anchored in what is right, not just what feels inspiring in that very moment. What does it mean? It means that keep our word, especially in the small duties we've taken on for the Lord. Yeah. If you say you will show up, then show up. If you say you will volunteer, volunteer. Yeah. If you say that you're going to take up that project or show up in the a Bible study, be there. Yeah. Let the Bible, not moods, not also trends, or probably social media, define what is right and wrong in our life. Yeah. Build simple, steady habits. Daily prayer, probably. Personal, very personal. Before you even start the family prayer, your personal prayer, as soon as you open up your eyes, before you see anything else, before you even reach your phone, pray. Or daily time, yeah, in God's word, your personal time. Sometimes it's funny that we're teaching Bible study, but then we forgot to pour in water, just like a little spout, yeah? You fill in, and then you pour it, you're busy pouring out to people teaching, but then you never fill it back in, empty in you. I feel like sometimes like that when I'm teaching Bible study like this, I put everything in me, and I pour everything to you guys, and then I'm here. I am empty again. Yeah. Build a simple, steady habit. Yeah, daily obedience in the little, small things in our life. This is what it means to serve God in truth. Quote. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 to 15 says, "Fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve." Yeah. That's the scripture from the lessons on Monday. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. "What does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord, to love Him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart?" Yeah. God weighs not just what we do, but the heart behind what we do. In other words, He measures our service not by how impressive it looks, but by how sincere and loyal the heart is that offers it. The Lord isn't just asking, "Will you serve me?" He's gently asking, "Will you serve me with a whole heart, in sincerity and in truth?" Yeah. If any part of our walk with God has become routine, tired, or divided, this is a precious moment for us to refresh start again. Yeah. Okay, that's Monday. Let's move on. Yeah. Let's move on to Tuesday. Yeah. We already see a sincere heart is powerful, but God never forced us to do it. Yeah. And in Tuesday, we'll step into the holy tension between a God who could command, yet chooses instead to invite. Will you freely serve Him? Yeah. Hence the title, Free to Serve. Tuesday lesson. Let's dive in. At Shechem, back to the story, Shechem, Joshua does not twist anyone's arm. Yeah. He places the choices clearly before the people and says, "Choose for yourself this day." God is looking for love that is chosen, not forced. Yeah. Yet when Israel quickly responds, "We will serve the Lord." Yeah, that's how Israel responds. Joshua slows them down. "Hey, hold on a minute, slow down." Because saying yes to God is beautiful. That's really important. But it is also weighty and holy. What does it mean by that? So let's move on. Let's draw the first lesson from Tuesday. God never forced the will. Yeah. Joshua honors Israel's freedom. They are truly free to say yes or free to say no. Yeah, Joshua 24, 15. God will not drag anyone into obedience or push anyone into heaven against their will. What does it mean? We can apply this truth by applying the fact that in our home, in our church, we must resist the temptation to use guilt, to use fear, or manipulation to get people to cooperate spiritually. Yeah? Don't use fear. Don't use guilt or manipulation. Same thing. Maybe in the church we can apply this. Maybe in a different level. Yeah? Upper church. Yeah. Don't use fear, manipulation, or guilt to get people cooperate. Yeah. Let's move back. Let's go from different approach from different side. Instead, we lead by example. Yeah. Let our lives show what joyful, willing service looks like or feels like, and trust the Holy Spirit to draw hearts in God's time and way. Again, Joshua 24, 15. Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Yeah. Mrs. White wrote in The Desire of Ages, page 22. Force is contrary to the principles of God's government. That is a really bold message from Mrs. White. Let me repeat that. Desire of Ages, page 22. Force is contrary to the principles of God's government. God wins by what? By hearts, by love, not by force. Yeah, sometimes if you want to shape a bonsai, you want to shape them as when they're growing up little. Yeah? When they're growing up a little bit, and then you shape them the shape that you want them to be. But when you wait until it gets bigger, you trying to shape them, it breaks. Yeah. So second pearls of truth we can draw from Tuesday lesson. Now, time is ticking. Our yes to God must be thoughtful, not a shallow one. Yeah, we're not just saying yes. When Israel answers, we also will serve the Lord. Yeah, Joshua 24, verse 18. We also will serve the Lord. Joshua immediately responds, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. In verse 19, he is not discouraging them by that statement. He is helping them feel the seriousness of what they are promising. This is not a casual, emotional, shallow yes. Yeah. What does it mean? It has to mean something. What it means is that treat baptismal vows. Yeah, this is something that we always periodically you see in our church. Treat baptismal vows, marriage vows, church responsibilities, and spiritual commitment as a sacred, not just a simple routine, casual service. Yeah. Before saying, Lord, I will do anything, pause a little bit and ask to yourself, am I truly willing to let God remove my idols and rearrange my life or not? Again, Mrs. White wrote in Steps to Christ, same chapter, the test of discipleship. She warns that many take upon themselves the name of Christ, yet their hearts are not changed. Let me repeat that. Many take upon themselves the name of Christ, yet their hearts are not changed. Meaning it's only here, not in here. Not in here. True discipleship is more than words. It is surrender. Your heart, your mind, and your lifestyle completely. That's second pearls of truth from Tuesday. And let's draw the third one. We are free to choose, but only God can enable us to serve. Yeah. Joshua knows from Israel's history that human promises alone will not hold. The decision to serve God is necessary and real. But the power to live out that decision comes from who? From God Himself, not from our own strength. What does it mean? What can we apply in our life? Stop trusting in our own willpower. Yeah. Use our freedom each day to say, Lord, I chose you. And then lean on His power to keep us and pray, Lord, I chose you now. Please work in me. Help me. I can't do this without you. Yeah. It is God, Philippians 2:13 says, it is God who works in you both to will and to do. Yeah. All right. Picture a father Imagine a father whose adult son has moved far away and rarely calls. The father aches with longing for his child. He could try to force the son to come home. He could call the authorities and demand something be done. But that would not be love, wouldn't it? That would be called control. Yeah. Instead, the father keeps the porch light on. When he hears the son might visit, he cooks the son's favorite meal. He sends gentle messages. The door is always open. Son, I'd love to see you. So finally, one day, the son chooses to walk through that door. Now the father's joy is really deep and feels real because the visit was freely chosen, not because the father forced for him to come. That is, brothers and sisters, how God deals with us. He turns the lights on. He prepares the place for us. He sends the invitation, but he will not chain us to his front door. He invites us. It's all our steps of actions to come to him. Brothers and sisters, God has placed the power of choice in our hands. He will not force us, but God is continuously calling us. Today, don't make a hasty promise. Make a thoughtful decision. Let's move on to Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday, from a free yes to God is beautiful. Yeah, unless hidden idols quiet whisper no behind the scenes. Yeah, on Wednesday, we peel back the layers and ask, what is really competing for God's place in my heart? Hence the title, The Dangers of Idolatry. Yeah. Israel has just made a bold declaration. We will serve the Lord. That's the statement. Yeah. Joshua's next words are direct and searching. In Joshua 24, 23 says, now therefore, put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. Why another appeal so soon? That's the question. Yeah, because they were using their lips to promise God while keeping idols hidden in their tents. Yeah, and that same danger still lurks in modern Christianity's Seventh-day Adventist homes nowadays and churches. Public commitment with private idols. Yeah. We can draw the first pearls of lesson on Wednesday. Idols are not far away. They're amongst us, believe it or not. Yeah, just like from this Wednesday lesson. That's what God wants us to learn. Joshua does not talk about idols way back in Egypt or out there in Canaan. He says, the foreign gods which are among you. By the way, that's from Joshua 24, verse 23. He says, the foreign gods which are among you. That's what it means. The problem is not just out there in someone else's life. The danger is already inside the camp at that time. Yeah. What can we apply in our lives here? Let's do a spiritual audit. Don't audit anyone else. Yeah. Spiritual, your own self audit. Yeah. Audit our own life. When we are tired, we are feeling stressed, lonely, and discouraged, what do we reach for first? God or something else? Or ask ChatGPT? Or something else? Or ask Google? Or ask our BFF? Who do you ask first? God or something else? Walk through our daily schedule. That's still within the context of spiritual audit. Our spending, our screen time. Do we spend like out of 24 hours, do we spend screen time like 20 hours? Only 4 hours you spend sleeping or praying out of that 24 hours a day that we have? Let's do some audit on that. I feel guilty on that too. So I'm looking at this like a mirror, talking with the mirror in here. Walk through our daily schedule, our spending, our screen time. Very often, those reveal what has quietly moved into among us, among your family, amongst our church, among our own personal space in our heart. Yeah. Second lessons we can draw. Hearts don't naturally lean toward God. Joshua commands in verse 23, incline your heart to the Lord. Yeah. That means our hearts do not automatically bend toward God. Yeah. Left for themselves, our hearts lean toward comfort. It has a good tendency to go toward comfort, self, and also sin. It takes deliberate, repeated choices to turn our hearts into God's direction. The application, let's build intentional spiritual practices. Start our day with prayer before you pick, I pick my phone. As soon as you open, where's my phone? Then you do like this, checking on the phone in your face. Let's do that. Let's shift that. As soon as you open, oh, dear Lord, thank you for still giving me breath of life in my body. I still have it. You don't take that away from me. Thank you, Lord. Oh, so, and then all go down on your knees first. Before you go reach to your nightstand and then reach for your phone, okay, what going to do today? What's the plan for today? That's lurking into us, in the midst of us. That's the lesson from Wednesday. Yeah? Let's move on. Mrs. White wrote and reminds us that an idol is anything, anything that takes that place in the heart that belongs to God. Work, it could be family, it could be money, it could be reputation, even religious activity can become idols if they absorb our best energy and attention while Christ gets leftovers. Yeah. So basically she reminds us that God calls us to, quote, empty the souls of every idols. Yeah. So that the Holy Spirit can fully dwell within, and then obedience flows as the natural fruit of love rather than fear. Let's move on to Thursday. We have four more minutes. On Thursday, it's called Finishing Well. Yeah, the book of Joshua does not close with another miracle story. It closes with a funeral and a legacy. Yeah. The battles have been fought. The land is settled. Joshua, the servant of the Lord, is laid to rest. And hanging over these closing verses is a question for the next generation. Will they walk with the same faith, or will the story stalls once Joshua is gone? This is about finishing well and hanging off well for parents, for us leaders, and for our church. The first lesson we can draw, God finishes what he starts. Yeah, Joseph's bones, carried through centuries of waiting, are finally buried in the promised land in Joshua 24:32. A promise made generations earlier is now fulfilled. God does not forget what he has spoken. Yeah. When you feel discouraged by delays, please remember this. God may not work on our own timetable, but he never abandoned his words or his promise. Yeah. In our home, in our ministry, keep on praying, keep sowing, keep serving. Even when you don't see a quick or instant result, God is still writing the long-term story of your service. Yeah. Second lesson, life can end, but a legacy can keep speaking. Yeah. From Thursday. When Joshua dies, Scripture does not list all his military victories. It simply calls him, quote, the servant of the Lord. That is his final job title. His greatest achievement is not the land he helped conquer, but the life of faith he lived. Yeah. What can we apply in our life from that fact? Ask ourselves honestly. If my life were summed up in one sentence, what would it say right now? Built by God's grace, habits of integrity, faithfulness, and mercy that will still influence our children, our friends, and our church long after we gone. And the last lesson from Thursday we can draw is that every generation must choose to be faithful, including our generation. The Bible says Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua. And notice this. The next generation faithfulness is not automatic. They must choose for themselves. And what does it mean? Do not assume that our youth will just catch, yeah, faith because they attend church. Yeah, only because they attend church, the faith will automatically just catch. Invest in them, listen to them, mentor them, give them real responsibilities in our church, in the ministry, not just a token roles. An application for a whole church. Keep asking, are we passing on programs? Or are we passing on a living personal faith in Jesus in every aspect of our worship, whether you're standing, on singing, you're kneeling down praying, or listening to the sermon, every single part of the service in the church. Mrs. White reminds us in Acts of the Apostles and devotional writings, Ellen G. White reminds us that in heaven's eyes, true greatness is not measured by flashy gifts, but by steady faithfulness, by those who patiently continues in well-doing and cling to Christ to the very end. Brothers and sisters, this is really beautiful lessons as the peak of our study for this quarter. Yeah, God is not asking for polished, superficial religion, but for hearts that serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Yeah. So, if you would like to receive the CD or DVD for today's Bible study presentation, please call us 916-457-6511 or write us at email chh@saccentral.org and mention offer number C202552. And we will begin the next quarter, the new lessons. The title is Uniting Heaven and Earth, Christ in Philippians and Colossians. And the first lesson will be brought by Pastor Mike. The title is Persecuted but Not Forsaken. Pastor Mike Thompson will open the lesson one with a compelling look at Paul, a man whose chains become a witness for the unstoppable faith.